I was minding my business reading the Bible this week, as we all are, amen. And I came across a passage of scripture, and I was like, wow. So I think I'm going to preach that this Sunday. If I can keep from having a reaction to whatever is in this basement. I don't know what's going on. But let me put it up. I want to talk about an Old Testament character who is not mentioned one time in the New Testament. Well, not by his name. Anything else? So let me put up. Let's see. I want to go to. I want to go to our friend here.
Joshua.
Now, you know, in 1 John, the Bible says this, that we love God because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let me change it a little bit. We have faith in God because God is a faithful God.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Yeah.
We have faith in God because God spoke. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If God didn't speak, man couldn't have faith. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If God didn't love us, we couldn't love God. It all starts with God, right? And it all ends mm-hmm. with him. So I want to look at Caleb's faith. And because as I was reading, you know, when you're reading about, sometimes you read something and you just have to stop. You stop. Oh, Lord Jesus, my, this is too much. This is. So I want to share a passage of scripture, but then I'm going to have to give the backstory on this. Because there's quite a backstory to, if you remember the story about Caleb. Numbers chapter 14, going to the promised land. 12 spies sent, 10 brought back a evil report. So, but I'm reading through the book of Joshua, and I come upon this passage of scripture. So let me share a little bit of it. In Joshua 14 and verse 6, we read, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" So let me set the backstory to this a little bit. Caleb is coming to Joshua because the Lord had spoken about them, you ready? 40 years earlier. Caleb now is 40 to, he's 45 years older now, and he's bringing up something God said to him and Joshua 45 years ago. You've been waiting for something, but Caleb was waiting for 45 years. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 8 says, if we hope for something then that we do not see, then we with patience wait for it. Hello?
Amen.
When you're hoping for something, you're waiting patiently for it to come.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb waited 45 years. And so he's reminding Joshua. He says, "You remember that word that the Lord said about you and I?" So I'm reading through this, minding my business. I had to get the backstory and then come back to Joshua. But let me go to Numbers just to refresh our memory. If you remember, Moses sends, by the word of the Lord, Moses sends 12 spies, leaders of each tribe, into the land of Canaan, spy it out, see how good it is. 12 spies come back. 10 spies say, "Hey, you're good over there." Well, no, never mind the fact that the Lord had been saying, "I'm taking you to a promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. You're going to destroy all the people, and you're going to possess the land. Man is going to be yours." I've been telling them that since they left Egypt. 10 spies said, "Oh, no, that ain't happening." We'll get to that in a second. But Caleb, this is what the Lord said about Caleb in Numbers 14. "My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." So Caleb, where he spied out the land, God says, "I'm going to give you that land, Caleb." Caleb, what he told him. And this is what Caleb is saying. You know what the word that the Lord said to Moses about you and me, right? So this is what the Lord said about Caleb. This is what the Lord said further down in Numbers 14, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore to make you dwell in. So only of all the people that came out of Egypt, think about this for a second, it just blows you away. Of all the people that came out of Egypt, two went into the land of Canaan. Moses didn't make it. Aaron, Miriam didn't make it. It was Caleb and Joshua. They made it. A prior generation all died in the wilderness. Why? Because they rejected the word of the Lord. They rejected God. So God made a promise to all the children of Israel. But he made a promise to all the children of Israel that came out of Egypt that he would bring them into the land of Canaan. It's right here. He says, which I swore to make you dwell in. He's talking to all these people. I swore that I'm going to take you into this land. However, that promise was conditional. What was it conditioned upon? It was based upon God's people believing in what God had promised. Oh, I seem like I remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him, for those who diligently trust in him or have faith in him, right? Mm-hmm. So when it was commanded by the Lord for them to enter the promised land, that's why the 12 spies went. 10 brought back an evil report, said, we're not able to do that. In Numbers 13, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. And when he said that, he meant by the power of God. We're well able to overcome it. Caleb was encouraging the people, let's go. Let's go do this because God is with us. Just as the Lord overthrew the Egyptians, God had already shown his mighty power to the Israelites. He had shown them what he could do, and he would do the same thing in the land of Canaan. He was going to overthrow the Canaanites, Girgashites, Jebusites, Hivites, all these tribes. He was going to overthrow these people. But the men who had gone up with Caleb and Joshua said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Imagine that. Notice who they don't mention in all of this, these 10 spies. Notice who they don't mention. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which God said was good. God said it was flowing with milk and honey. These 10 spies come back with a bad report. Bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we've gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giant, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we in their sight. Notice who they don't mention. They don't mention the Lord. They're considering God. These men are just coming back and saying, hey, we can't do it. Yeah. God, we couldn't get out of Egypt. God brought us out of Egypt. And so they were denying the Lord in all of this. They were setting him aside. It was very, very tragic as they rebelled against God in this whole scene. Still giving backstory here. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Oh, my goodness. So now, why is that so important? Because a few chapters earlier, the people complained against the Lord. And the Lord sent fire among them, and it burned people up and killed them. God brought judgment upon them. You know, as mentioned in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, and let us not complain like they complained in the Old Testament. It is talking about that story in Numbers chapter 11. It says, so let us not complain. Yeah, I'm learning this. I'm learning this. No. Because God destroyed those who complained a few chapters earlier. They complained against Moses and Aaron, God's authority, God's ordained authority. Aaron set up as priest, Moses as the prophet. God set them up, and the people now are complaining against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness. My goodness, these people are so afraid, and they're so discouraged. They're saying, well, we don't want to go over there and fight and die. What? It would have been better if we'd have died in Egypt. They are totally in disarray. They are totally in despair. They don't want to do anything. And they're saying stuff that they ought not be saying. You be careful what you wish for. Because they said, if only we had died in this wilderness. And you know what happened? That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
God told them, as judgment upon them, he told them, turn around back in this wilderness and march, because none of you except Caleb and Joshua, none of you are going into the promised land. Your children will go, but you're not. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is huge, the significance of this. Verse 3, they go on. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? The Lord has not brought you to the land to fall by the sword. But they're so scared, they're making stuff up. And so they say, to fall by the sword. Really? Is this what the Lord has done? The Lord has already defeated Israel's enemies. So Israel should trust in the Lord. They're saying that our wives and our children should become victims. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? God had already said, you're not going back to Egypt. I brought you out. You're not going back. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So now they know better than God. So now they're going to raise up a leader and they're going to return. They are rebelling against God's revealed will. God has revealed his will to them. He wants them to go into the promised land that flows with milk and honey. He's going to defeat their enemies. And they're going to have that as their inheritance. That's the revealed will of God, and they're rebelling against it. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out, notice what they say. They agree with what God has said about the land. They said, it's an exceedingly good land. Hey, for God's taken us, it's a good place. Amen. And they're agreeing with God, right? Amen. So they go on. And he says this, and if the Lord delights in us, Caleb mentions the Lord because he trusts in the Lord. He has faith in the Lord. The other 10 spies, they didn't mention the Lord because they didn't. They didn't. God could do what God said he was going to do. He will bring us into this land and give it to us, meaning God will defeat our enemies. A land which flows with milk and honey. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. Why does Caleb say that? Because God has revealed to them, God is leading them into the land of Canaan. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Man, Caleb said, enough. You talk about a man of faith. He said, they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. And then, most importantly of all, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. And because the Lord is with us, do not fear them. Do not fear them. Now, what's interesting as to this last part, the Lord is with us, do not fear them. In the next book, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord commanded the children of Israel through the mouth of Moses, through the hand of Moses. And Moses said this in Deuteronomy chapter 20. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord God is with you. That's what Caleb said. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Caleb said that in Numbers, the book of Numbers. And then it comes as a command through Moses by the Lord. It comes as a command that when you see these people, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Amen.
These people, some of us in battles today, and we get terrified, we get afraid, we're like, how am I going to do this? I don't know. Well, the word to us says, do not be afraid, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, the Lord is with you. So it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you. Amen. The New Testament, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Hebrews 13:8, that the Lord is with us always. His presence is with us always. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So the Lord is with us to fight for you against your enemies to save you. This is what God had promised he would do. He was going to fight for Israel. Yet the 10 spies said, no, we can't do that. We don't believe that. And then he said this further down in Deuteronomy chapter 20. The officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house. In other words, go home. Why? Because his heart will cause the heart of his brethren to faint. In other words, fear is contagious. If the person is so afraid, if they're fighting him, I don't know, I'm scared. They're saying go home. That's what the law was saying in the book. Apparently, this ordinance wasn't applied to the leaders who came back as the spies. The 10 spies came back and spread fear throughout the whole congregation of Israel. And because that fear leapt from those 10 leaders to everyone else, all the congregation said, stone Caleb and Joshua with stones. Kill them. Because all after Caleb and Joshua said, no, we can go up and do this. We can overtake these people. The congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, that's the backstory of all that happened. God told the truth. I didn't want to, it's very deep and involved. I didn't want to go through all the scriptures because it would be so long. But God told that generation, he told the 10 spies, well, God passed judgment upon them. They died by the plague. Those 10 men, they died by the plague. But all the men of the army who didn't want to go in and fight, God said, oh, you're going to die in the wilderness. You're going to die. So turn around and march back into the wilderness. And they did. And that whole generation died off in the wilderness. That's the backstory to this. So Joshua said, he comes Caleb comes to Joshua and says, you remember what the Lord said? You and I are the only two here from that prior generation. And Caleb said this, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. As it was in my heart, for with the heart man believes unto salvation. So Caleb truly believed that good land that he saw, God was going to take him into it. Why? Because God said it. That's why he believed it, right? Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. They made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. So Caleb, because of the years that God had kept him, had a testimony of God's faithfulness in his life. And where is it? Not there yet. I'm going to get there. Okay. So let me say this as it relates to the people who made the brethren, the heart of the brethren faint. Sadly to say, there will be people in your life who will do harm to what God is doing in one's life. people who do things and say things, people in the kingdom of all places that will do things just like here. These people were in the kingdom. They were of the brethren. They were brothers, yet they did something to cause the heart of the people to faint. But what God wants us to know is that in the midst of that, you and I are to be faithful and wholly follow the Lord. You and I are to be faithful and wholly follow the Lord. We have people, it's happened all the time over the years. There have been people who've written worship songs that we sing in church, and then they come out and say, well, I'm no longer Christian. I don't believe that Jesus stuff. People's heart. I'm like, hey, well, how am I doing? I mean, if this star fell, if this celebrity is Christian celebrity, no, there are people who are going to do things and say things, and they're in the body of Christ, but you remain faithful to God. Your job is to remain faithful to the Lord and to follow him. When I was really young in the Lord, our church, we actually went through this. The man who started this church, he was a prophet. He was an apostle. This man, he would prophesy things. He would say things no one knew, and then it would come to pass. He performed miracles. He prophesied to me. He said that when he first met me, he prophesied things over my life no one knew. Absolutely no one but my mother knew. Okay. So we saw him do that all the time. People coming to the church, he'd be at the keyboard playing, and then he'd start prophesying over people. He'd look at someone and say, thus saith the Lord, and give them the word of the Lord and all this. Well, after about 2 years of planning our church and running our church, he just decided, but just because someone is gifted doesn't mean that their character is all that it should be. Mm-hmm. So after 2 years, you know, we're praising God, young people, we're worship, we're going door to door, we're witnessing, man, we're evangelizing, we're doing everything. One day his wife comes to church, gets up, says, well, Mickey, his name was Michael, that's his nickname, Mickey. He's left and he's gone to California. He didn't tell us he was going to California. He just up and left. And we were sitting in church this was Sunday morning. And we're like, okay. So after church, me and some other young men were outside talking. We were like, well, our faith ain't in the prophet. Our faith ain't in the man who started the church. Our faith is in the head of the church.
Amen.
We're like, look, we follow Jesus. That's who we follow.
Amen.
If he done lost his mind, if he something wrong with him, okay, something wrong with all of us.
Amen.
So he was gone. He was gone. He was nowhere to be found. We went on. We worshiping Jesus and everything. And, you know, he went somewhere and planted the church, went somewhere else, planted the church. And 1994, he passed away. And but we had to follow the Lord. There will be times, even in the body of Christ, where things will go awry. Things will not go as they should. Like these 10 spies should have come back with the report of the Lord in their mouth. Whose report? Who will we believe? We're going to believe the Lord's report. Amen. But they didn't. And it totally ruined, it wrecked the heart, caused the heart of the people to faint. And they wouldn't listen to Caleb and Joshua. So, so back to the book of Joshua now. Caleb says, so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land, and where it says here, Moses, when you go back and read it in the Numbers, it says, thus says the Lord. The Lord is speaking here. So it says, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. This is what the Lord said about Caleb. He didn't say it about anybody else. Now, he said Joshua was going into the promised land, but Joshua wasn't one of the 12 spies. So, he did inherit his property in Ephraim, because he was from the tribe of Ephraim. But Caleb actually inherited the land that he walked on, right? So this was the promise to Caleb. Please notice that The land was not his yet. The land was not his yet, but it was promised to him. Amen? So, it's a promise was made to Caleb because he God, because he agreed with God, because he believed God, God made a promise with him. It was only Caleb that he made that promise with. He said, you know where you are? The other 10 spies, they all died in a plague. But Caleb, God made him a promise. And what's interesting to me about this is that Caleb is a man who is not mentioned in the New Testament. He's a man. Why? Well, because in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews said, it would fail me to talk about the judges, Gideon, Barak, David, Samson. Full of heroes of faith.
Amen.
Who believed God and acquired the promise that they were waiting on God for. So, and verse 10, this is where I was reading, and I was reading at night, and I had to shut them. I said, okay, I'm done. I had to shut them. I said, because it was too big. I was like drinking. I'm like, oh, Lord. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Hey, man, let me tell you. Who keeping you alive? He's still here.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
When I read that the Holy Ghost said, keeping you alive, why used to you hear it's 60 years now. You've been here for 60 years. So the Lord has kept me alive. That's what Caleb said.
Amen.
The 10 spies and the other generation, they are dead and gone. They are dead and gone. But Caleb said, and behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Caleb, in this day and time, he gave honor to the Lord because he realized it was the Lord who had been faithful to him and kept him alive all these years. So he says, the Lord has kept me alive as he said. The Lord said, he's fulfilling his promise. These 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. So what God spoke, God was going to bring to pass. And God has never spoken and not brought to pass what he has spoken. Never, ever, right? Caleb believed that he was alive at the present time because of what God had promised him in the past. He said that again. Caleb believed that he was alive in the present because of what God promised him in the past. In other words, God saw and spoke into his future. Hello? God is walking around in the future every day. And he can speak to us from the present about our future. Why? Because he's in the future. Amen. Yes. And so, Caleb understands that God has kept him. He credited the Lord's 45 years of great faithfulness. He credited it to the Lord. And wow, that sounds like what? Well, isn't that? That's the right thing to do. That's not what everybody does. Hello, that's not what everybody does. Why are you and I alive today? We're alive because of this. Jesus said to Peter, he said, "I on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "The flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father is from heaven. And upon this rock, I'm going to establish my church." What rock? The rock of revelation. The rock. This is the rock upon which Jesus built his church. Everyone who is in the true church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about everyone who's in a church building. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
Everyone who is in the true spiritual church of Jesus Christ, everyone, bar none, has this as their reality. The Father reveals who the Son is.
Amen.
The only way you can know who Jesus truly is that the Father reveals it to you. And if the Father doesn't, you can sit in a church pew all day long, but you are not in the church. Hello. Hello. So, this is why you and I are alive today, because God Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And that's what Jesus is doing today. I know that all these things that fill the news, you turn on the news, there's Israel, Hamas, Ukraine, and Russia. There's the election. There's all this stuff going on. What do they call it? Coin, whatever it is, Bitcoin and this currency, new currency. There's all this stuff going on. And yet the greatest thing that's going on in the earth is what Jesus Christ came here to start. And it is still going on today.
Amen.
Still going on today. Look at this is what Paul said about it in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been past tense, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built. Not only was it past tense, but it's we are being built. The house of God. Amen. Jesus Christ is building the temple of the Lord. Amen. The temple not made with hands. Solomon built a temple made with hands. God said, no, I can't live in that. I'm going to send my son to build me a temple that I will inhabit forever. I will dwell in it forever. That temple, that building is us.
Amen. Amen.
We are the building that God said, this is two things. Greatest going on planet Earth is Jesus Christ building his church. People are coming into it every day because the Father is revealing who the Son is. And then for us who are here, like Caleb, we have to maintain our faith and maintain our testimony. We have to continue to believe that what God said is true. We can't. Why? Because what does the devil want more than anything from a believer? He wants their faith. He wants you to cast off your faith. He wants you to say, yeah, I don't believe that Jesus stuff anymore. Yeah, that's what he wants you to say. No, the Father revealed to us supernaturally who the Son is. Amen. We're not letting go of that. We are not letting go of that because that is what's causing us to be built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. He told the church at Colossae, you're rooted and built up, be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, rooted and built up. Peter says to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Speaking of Jesus, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. You are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, the Caleb says this, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And let me say this. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years as punishment or judgment because the spies spied out the land for 40 days. And God said, for every day that those spies were there and those you rejected me, every day that they were there, you're going to spend a year in the wilderness and you're going to die in the wilderness. That's why Israel wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. That's why it's such a miracle when Caleb said, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. The Lord has kept me alive. So while Israel was wandering in the wilderness, let's be clear. I want you to see this. While Israel was wandering in the wilderness, Caleb was waiting on God. Caleb wasn't wandering. Caleb was waiting on the land that God promised him in Canaan. All the other people were wandering. Hello. Caleb, in other words, we are not wandering, church. We're not wandering. We're waiting on the promise from God, like Caleb was waiting on the promise from God. Israel wandered. Caleb did not. Caleb did not. He says, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Why? Because Caleb was simply waiting on the promise from God. Caleb watched all those people die in the wilderness because they wandered, but Caleb was waiting. We are not wandering through this life. I don't know about you. I'm not wandering through this life. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, which way to go now? I don't know. No, we're not wandering. We are waiting on the promise from God. Well, you say, what promise? What promise are we waiting on? Well, it's the greatest promise. Hello?
Amen.
It's the greatest promise. Let's just, out of however many promises there are, 3,000, however many, I heard there's so many promises. Let's look at just this one. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said in John 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, God.
Where I am. There you may be also. My God, God. I mean, we're the, that's the promise. That's what we're waiting on. That's what we're waiting on. Caleb was promised, he was promised that he would overcome physical enemies and possess physical land. But you and I were promised that we would overcome spiritual enemies and possess a spiritual land or a spiritual inheritance. In other words, what I'm waiting on ain't here.
Amen. Amen.
No, it's not here. It's not here. You ask any pastor at the end of his life, look, he ain't gonna be talking about, I built a great church if they built a mega church. No, I'm gonna be talking about that. And bro, because the life you're gonna go to far exceeds that. Mark sees that and pray that everyone's vision encapsulate that. Because remember, Abraham, to whom God gave the initial promise, Israel inhabiting the land of Canaan was part of the Abrahamic promise. God gave that. He said, your seed is going to inherit this land that I'm promising you. He said, your seed, which is going to be innumerable, is going to inhabit it. But guess who didn't receive that promise? Get to who didn't realize that promise? Abraham didn't. Abraham, he didn't own any land. The only thing he owned, he bought a field to bury Sarah in. He bought a cave, the cave of Machpelah. He bought this cave to bury Sarah in. That's all that he owned. People say, well, Abraham didn't realize the promise. Oh, yes, he did. Because Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. For a city who has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The heavenly Jerusalem. Come on. Why? Because that's what his faith was given to him to do. Oh yeah, the land here, that was just intermediate. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't the goal. Hello, the goal was the heavenly land. Amen. He no longer looked forward to the promised land, but he looked to something greater than the promised land. So Caleb said this: as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. I read that, thought, "Duck, gracious me." He was 85 years old, and he says, I'm as strong as I was at 40. I'm like, Lord, it's not like that today.
You can test it. Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? Look here. I read that, I'm like, Lord, no, it's not like that. Well, not only did the Lord keep Caleb alive, but the Lord kept Caleb strong. He kept him strong, okay? Now, I love this passage of scripture, Deuteronomy 33. This is where Moses is prophesying over the tribe of Asher. And he says, your sandals shall be iron and bronze, and as your days, another version, New King James, no, another version says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. In other words, as long as you're living, you're going to be strong.
Amen.
You're going to be strong, okay? So that was a prophetic word over them. But to us, that's not a reality. And that's okay. That's okay.
Amen.
You will not be surprised by the fact that the New Testament does not speak highly of human strength.
Correct.
Hello? Psalm 33, I believe it is, says this. God takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. We now, all we do is talk about how strong. Look, God looking at you like, Yeah, he looked. No. But you know what the New Testament does speak highly, very highly of? God's strength. Because the strength in the Old Testament, the physical strength in the Old Testament for us is spiritual strength in the New Testament. You're going to lose your strength as you get older. But as you get older in the spirit, in the New Testament, you ought to get stronger spiritually.
Amen.
Stronger. Paul said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. Our strength is not to be physical as we get older in the Lord. But our strength is to be, we should be growing in the power of his might. We should be growing strong in the power of his might. Paul said it, mm-hmm. I shared this a week or so ago in another sermon. He said, where the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Would you rather be weak in God and physically strong, or strong in God and physically weak?
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am physically in weak circumstances, then I am strong.
Amen.
So the strength that Caleb is referring to, yeah, he's referring to physical strength, but in the New Testament, it speaks to spiritual strength, okay? Because as we wait upon the Lord, we know this. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. For us New Testament believers, that's spiritual strength. As we wait upon the Lord, we are getting strong. You know, who wrote the song said, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger? I forget who.
Kelly Clarkson.
Thank you. Yeah. Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson sing this song, whatever doesn't kill you only will make you stronger. When we go through trials, God takes us to the trial. You know what the goal is? To make us stronger. When we go through the journey. And that's what Paul's saying here. When I'm weak, then I'm trusting in God's strength, not my own. Mm-hmm. They're waiting upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So while Caleb was waiting, he was getting stronger. While you and I are waiting on the Lord, we're getting stronger as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. See, the older I get, the spiritually stronger I ought to become. Amen. Lord knows I'm not relying on this physical strength, because I'm still doing what I've always been able to do, but it's a whole lot harder right now. Yeah, it's a whole lot harder. So, last verse. So Caleb says this, now therefore give me this mountain. Give me this mountain, which the Lord spoke in that day, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fortified, and maybe that the Lord will be with me. That's how the speech that he uses means that the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has said, because that's what the Lord had promised. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. So Caleb confidently asked for what was promised to him by the Lord 45 years earlier. He confidently asked. He said, yes, this is mine. I want this. Amen. This is what God promised. This is what's going to be mine. Listen, I got news for you. The older we get, We don't all be like Caleb said, yeah, you know what the Lord promised me that? I'm ready for it. Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
John MacArthur, who's a pastor, he's over 80 now. He keeps saying, he says to the Lord, any time now, Lord, at any time. He said, I'm ready. RC's gone. Robbie Zacharias gone. Jack Hayford gone. Billy Graham gone. All the old generals, so to speak. Old Bill Bright. These old, ministry. That one. And John MacArthur said, anytime, Lord. He's asking. He wants his inheritance. He says, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Like Caleb. Yeah. Caleb was like, give me what the Lord promised me. So it's no disservice when a believer prays, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because that's exactly what Jesus said he's going to do. That's exactly what he said he's going to do. In the meantime, every day is a day of salvation, because every day the Lord tarries, the Lord is saving, not willing that any should perish, but that all will be saved, come to the knowledge.
Amen.
So Caleb had faith in the faithful God to inherit a tangible inheritance. Let me say it again. Caleb had faith in the faithful God to inherit a tangible inheritance. We have faith in the Lord Jesus, who's the express image of God, to inherit an eternal inheritance that is safe and reserved for us in the heavens.
Amen.
We are looking forward to an eternal inheritance. And what I just want to encourage you and I to do is to keep faith.
Amen.
Believing.
Amen.
Keep waiting.
Amen.
Remain faithful to the Lord. Follow him fully. Follow him wholly. And God's going to bring to pass what he said he's going to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Some comments on the teaching.
Good word.
Thank you.
Good word, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, love.
Urging.
All right. Church. Thank you for being faithful, coming along.
Praise
of yourself. Oh, let me ask real quick, Jim, how's Sister Irene doing?
She's doing fine. She had a little episode this morning, but she's doing okay.
Okay.
Pastor Pack, could you send me the Zoom link again, the new Zoom link, because I didn't get it on my PC.
Okay.
I'm speaking from my iPhone.
Okay, I'll email it to you so you can activate it from your PC too. Okay.
I had to go into my PC and add my phone number so that it would register.
Right. Yeah. And how you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing fine. The Lord is keeping me strong and mindful. So I just believe in him, and what will happen will happen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right,
Amen.
Church.
God bless.
God bless the balance of your Sunday and your week.
Amen.
God bless.
Take care now.